Miss Shepherd, reel 11.
What was wrong with the car?
Well, in these days you wouldn't know. It was a Woolsey car with multiple discs, and that was a lot of discs all running together. And his chauffeur had been a jockey. So I suppose he didn't know a thing. So I had to take it back to the garage and take the clutch right out and clean the discs and put them right. And I took them back, and it was quite all right after that. And he was very pleased with it. And so the first day he said, I'm afraid, I have a dog, and I'm afraid she doesn't like ladies. And the first thing this dog did was to get up, put her paws on me, and lick my face all over, and licked all the powder off. And, well, that was that. And then he said, I'm afraid my job takes me out late. So I said, well, what time do you mean? What do you mean, late? So he said, well, I'm afraid sometimes I'm 8 o'clock before I'm finished. So I said, oh, dear. Well, I don't mind. We're used to getting 11, 12, 1. If you want all night, all right, I'll take you. So he said, oh, all right. And so we began, he got used to my driving. And it came for his man to come back from leave. And then he said, he'd rather keep the girl driver. Of course.
Did you tend to drive one man for a long period of time? Or would you one day drive one officer and another day the
for
next?
Yes. First of all, I drove one man for about 4 months. I told you, the one that said, good morning, you see. That was the conversation. But after that, I was on the pool, and we had all kinds of men, which was quite fun, because all types. Some were nice, some were not nasty. Some was a little bit frivolous, but we managed to do away with that. Our rubber aprons did that. But they were very nice, because they were all on important jobs. You see? They had to get somewhere quickly, and we were there to take them.
Could you take them anywhere they wanted to go? What if they wanted to go right up to the front?
Well, if it was, they wanted, we didn't go actually to the front, but we went up to the line, what they called the line, but that had to be unofficial. You see, and they would say, well, now we're going, we're going to Oudrieck. Well, I don't know quite where we're going, but I'll tell you. And they used to say the way, well, then, of course, we knew very well that it was some unofficial jobs.
How close to the front did you personally get?
Well, I tell you, we could see the, we could see the hordes of Germans there. Oh, yes, we used to go up to Ypres and Passchendaele and... Oh, it was very, very interesting. But we didn't actually get into the battle zone, you see, not to that. We could, of course, all the noise was going on the whole time. Quite close to Ypres, where they were holding the line there, that's where we used to take the water, because, you see, that water was all chlorinated. So, I mean, we were up there.
Did you ever suffer any bombing raids while you were driving?
Yes, sometimes we had to stop and let them get on with it, you see, and hope for the best. Oh, yes, there were lots of bombs and shells.
You told me that you avoided a bomb in Dunkirk.
Oh, that was my man when, you see, I had a puncture. When I was in charge of the car, and he said, drive on. This was my man, drive on. And I said, no, sir, I'm in charge of this car, because if the car was damaged, you see, I should have got into a bother at the depot. I said, no, sir, I'm going to change my wheel. So I changed my wheel, and then we drove on. And when we got to the office where we were going, the office wasn't there. And they said, oh, good job you weren't here a minute or two ago. And he said, oh, my bird wouldn't drive on, she had a puncture. And it was then an orderly came out and he said, miss, they're talking about you in there.
Well, we was his name, that officer? Who
Major Smythe. Oh, yes.
You told me that one day you had 11 punctured.
Yes. That's when the French really used to, they had their fete days. Although it was war, they had held their fete days, and they used to put arches over, and I think nails were scattered about, not purposely, but I think they dropped more nails in the road than anything else. And so I kept on going, but every now and again it was pop, pop, and I had no... We used to keep what we called patches. In those days we had patches, and we used to mend them with patches. And at last I had no more patches left. And so I had to get the tire and fill it full of grass. And I got home on grass, packed tightly with grass. It wasn't easy driving, mind you, but it didn't do any damage to the rim of the wheel. You see, that's what we had to be careful of. We didn't damage the wheel.
Could you get the grass out again?
Oh, yes, of course. Pull it out and laughing all the time. Again, when we used to go up quite a long way, it was very frequently we'd have broken axles. So we used to have to use, what do you call it, levers, tyre levers. It was tyre levers mostly, if a spring was broken, if you put a couple of tyre levers in and then tied it up with your boot laces and your tie and your belt, and you'd get home like that. I wouldn't say you'd go 40 miles an hour, but you got home.
What sort of equipment did you carry with you to
use for tool
car
kit. Repairs? Proper toolkit, yes. And very often we used to have leaves of the springs. But if you hadn't got any of those, you just made do. That's where the emergency corps taught you to do really emergency jobs. Now, a stepney is a hollow round, which has a tire, and the inner tube. We had an inner tube, and you had what you call security bolts. Security bolts, that is, to secure the inner tube to the tire onto this rim.
The rim itself was the stepney?
Was just a rim, yeah.
And what was that made of?
Made out of steel, you know, like a wheel without any spikes. Just that, just a whole thing. And then, after you'd had as many punctures as you could, or if you had, you just clamped this stepney onto the... You ought to look up. You should look up stepneys. It's very interesting, because you had to have security bolts inside so that the inner tube didn't run round. You had to hold it. It's very interesting.
Did your car have a starter, or did you have to turn a crank?
Oh, always a starter. No self-starters in those days. Oh, no. It was only the very tip-top people up at the up in the front that had that. No, we used to have all the cars that were broken down, sent down, you see. So we were really old crocs. Even the base cashier used to carry thousands of pounds, yet he had the worst car on the pool.
What sort of car did you prefer among the cars in your pool?
Well, we had to drive everything. There were Sunbeams and, well, there were only about two Daimlers, but, I mean, there were Sunbeams, Austin. I don't know. I think Sunbeam and Austin's and what was the other? Bentley. Oh, is that one Bentley? I don't know. I've forgotten. My memory fails me. And then,
were there any that you preferred to others? Or did any of them have
a particularly
bad reputation?
No, you just had to... Oh, no, rowers. No, we used to have to drive what we were told, you see. Where we were told. You had to drive any car. You didn't know, you see. You wouldn't say, that's my car. If you were on the pool. On the pool, you just drove any man's car, any man and any car. You see? So, I mean, you had to be ready. But if you knew you were going anywhere, you had to be sure you had your petrol and everything equipped. It might be a short journey. If you were going a short journey, it might turn into a long journey because he might want to go somewhere else and somewhere else and somewhere else to see. That was that. And as I say, we used to mix. If, for instance, when we went up to the horse depot, they used to let us ride. I used to keep one of the men's kits there. I used to get into one of those and go riding. So, I mean, we used to just mix with pleasure. And one day, my friend and I, if we were longer than 5 minutes dressing, they used to fire revolvers under the door. Oh, yes. But one day, they gave us a couple of horses. Oh, dear. And we were galloping along, and I noticed they giggled. They gave us a martingale. And, of course, before we knew, her horse pulled up quick like this, and over she went into a hidden road down below. And she had concussion. She was 6 weeks unconscious. And then she was taken to, Acton, somewhere in Acton, one of the hospitals. And directly she got there, she regained consciousness.
How was your health during the war?
Oh, fine. Oh, yes. Didn't have any...
You were never in sick bay at all?
No, no. Only, yes, once. When we had our court-martial. No. That was the thing. I was in sick bay... No, when I was driving the colonel in the 10th Canadian Hospital, and he asked me to come in and have a drink after I'd dropped him at night. I said, oh, no, I can't. Why? I said, oh, my feet are so aching. He said, let me have a look at it. And, of course, there was a great ball like that on my foot. And he said, good God, you've got frostbite. You better come in. He said, when can you come in? I said, now. Because I'd had nothing to eat that day. So I went in. I let me go back to the garage. I took the car back to the garage. Someone else drove me down to the hospital. Next day I had the operation. It was all right. It was fine. I was very pleased because I had two hammer toes, which I hated all my life. And I did the trick. But I walked about for about 2 years with two little grey sausages on each foot. That was funny.
During the war, was your work very steady, or were there some times when you didn't have anybody to drive at all
for
days?
Oh, no. We were busy all the time. We might have a half an hour. And it was the first one in, put the kettle on. Yes, and I remember once a girl... Because we used to boil, we didn't have a kettle, we used to have a petrol can, you see. And she thought it was the petrol can that she'd put on. She'd put on a thing of aviation spirit. It didn't go off. We took it outside, you know, very gingerly. She thought it was water.
What happened?
Well, nothing, fortunately. We put water on then and we marked this other can. Oh,
you were lucky. When did you learn about the coming of armistice?
There was a false armistice. We heard about 3 days before and we thought it was armistice. And we got home early that night, so we broke camp immediately. We went out of camp, Barney and I. We went out of camp and we went down to the officers' mess where they carried me and her on their shoulders, going round, you know, making merry and making whoopee. And I got there were four officers and we took them to where they wanted to go. I don't know which camp it was now, one of the camps. And, you know, I remember those men lying in the road. They were Scottish soldiers and I remember them lying in the road. And that's all I remember.